Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
Welcome to this episode of The Excellent Fiduciary Podcast. I'm Ron Hagen, Chairman of the Risk Standards Committee here at Roland Criss. We're going to talk today about an issue that's got some degree of sensitivity based upon the title of it. We're going to discuss why fiduciaries fail, that is, why we have deficiencies in the conduct of those individuals who oversee America's retirement plan system. Now, for me, it's hard to imagine that executives who sit in the oversight positions on retirement plans would purposely fail to seek excellence in their role as the trusted managers of other people's assets, their employees' retirement accounts, in other words. The result of failing in that duty can be very grim on a number of different fronts. So why then do regulators reveal a steady uptick in the number of employers whose operations fail to conform to even primary fiduciary standards of care? The answer really isn't all that difficult to figure out. Some senior managers think that changing existing methods is not an option. They're comfortable with the way things have always been done and want to pursue the course they've always taken. Others know they should upgrade their standards of practice, but are unable to develop and install improvements due to a lack of know-how. And I should also mention that the job of the chief financial officer and the human resources executive in today's world is complex. But regulators and the legal community expend high energy attempting to focus their attention on the need for continuous improvements in the fiduciary management methods they employ to oversee retirement plans. Now, despite that, committees who are formed to perform that role are themselves prone to ignoring calls to adapt to changes in compliance systems and best practices. I guess it goes without saying, it's really never an option to ignore rulemakers and risk management experts. But the lack of responsiveness by leaders who are comfortable with inaction is an act of self-deception. Now, assuming that upgrades and oversight methods can follow a pace that's based upon what's convenient rather than on real-world priorities is a dangerous attitude. And as many leaders have discovered, no enterprise has sufficient influence to head off a clash with federal regulators. And in today's world, that includes activist employees who are organizing themselves in class actions against employers complaining about perceived breaches of their fiduciary duty. In essence, regulatory and litigation conditions are beyond an employer's control. Now, risk managers, and I'm talking here about human resources executives and chief financial officers, who don't instigate needed changes in their management methods, even when they recognize exposure to fiduciary risk, often lack what I'll call determination or willpower. Symptoms include the avoidance of competing opinions, resistance to new ideas, and dismissal of expert guidance. Now, fiduciary committees and operating managers are susceptible to deficiencies in five vital activities. And I'm going to mention them now, and then I'll expand briefly on each one separately. So these five activities are workflow, vendor management, investments, data security, and payroll reconciliation. Let's talk first of all briefly about workflow. Based on implementation specifics and really bristling with teeth, ramped up enforcement of fiduciary standards of care under ERISA is underway. And it's got some employers scrambling around trying to figure out how to deal with it. In many cases, methods to demonstrate compliance with ERISA's best practices are often haphazard. The need for a modernized workflow management program is exploding. Now, let's talk about vendor management, the second of the five activities I mentioned a moment ago. Hiring and managing investment and administration vendors for retirement plans is complicated and risky. It's complex due to confusing jargon and interlocking relationships among vendors. And it's dangerous because buyers are at a significant information disadvantage with the vendors. Inferior services and unfair compensation or excessive compensation are fueling a number of lawsuits and regulatory fines against employers. It's important to remember that fiduciaries of retirement plans, not the vendors, are accountable for the adequate performance of the vendors and the reasonableness of their compensation. All right, the third activity I alluded to a moment ago is the area of investments. A common theme found in many of the fiduciary lawsuits currently working their way through the courts centers on the defendant's investment decision-making process. And I'm emphasizing the word process. There are those in the industry who feel that when they are added to an investment committee that their duty, and in fact their very function, is making investment decisions. But that couldn't be further from the truth. ERISA does not expect, nor does it require, retirement plan fiduciaries to make investment decisions. Rather, the fiduciary's job is to manage a process that involves the selection of money managers, professionals who make the investment decisions. So in effect, the investment committee, the fiduciaries of a plan, are process managers, not investment decision makers. And the evaluation of their effectiveness, both in court cases and before the DOL, is determined by their ability to demonstrate that they are managing the investments complex in their retirement plans using a defined process. The fourth area I mentioned earlier is data security. I'll just mention just a couple of words about data security because in recent weeks, the U.S. Department of Labor's Employee Benefits Security Administration has announced guidance for retirement plan sponsors to use in order to upgrade cybersecurity, data security protection of employees' personally identifiable information. We have found that retirement plans qualified under ERISA generally lack a data security policy. Policies like data security define standards, which would require an employer to implement essential safeguards to protect the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the plan's personally identifiable information. Privacy depends upon security measures. It stands to reason if there's no security, then there's no privacy. Now, the U.S. Department of Labor is reporting that attacks on PII, personally identifiable information, occur frequently and in increasing numbers. And as a result, the DOL has begun to audit plan sponsors against data security standards that have been set in place in large part by the EBSA's recently introduced cybersecurity guidance. So it's vital that retirement plan sponsors not only have data security policy, much like they would have a plan document or an investment policy statement, but there should be a data security policy against which they can then rely, on which they can rely to conduct their own assessments of their retirement plan's safety of data security. Now, the fifth and final activity that's critical and is very often a reason for fiduciary violations of ERISA and Internal Revenue Code is payroll reconciliation. Payroll reconciliation is like the hollow wooden Trojan horse in Greek mythology. You may recall the story there. It concealed an invading force. Well, payroll can secretly undermine the compliance efforts of every organization that sponsors a defined contribution retirement plan. And that's because the point at which a retirement plan and a payroll system intersect is a breeding ground for the most common violations of fiduciary duty, and they can be the most unwieldy to fix. We've developed a document that identifies the functions inside the payroll operation that contribute most often to deficiencies that require correction filings with the DOL and the IRS. So you can request that from us at our website at rolandchris.com. Well, where do we go from here? I think there are three steps that outline a repeatable way to achieve and maintain excellence in the fiduciary role. And they include three things: assessment, action plan, and adjustment. Let's talk about the assessment. Assessment is a systematic evaluation performed regularly by a specialist that can uncover gaps in the oversight systems on which primary fiduciaries rely. Now, an action plan is a tool that helps leaders model how to upgrade their enterprise's oversight and risk management methods, ensuring that the enterprise-level risk management culture embraces their retirement plan operation as well. And then the third activity, which I think is crucial in achieving and maintaining excellence in the fiduciary role, is the adjustment process. This is a series of activities that implement improvements and then monitor the performance of the management system and third parties, the vendors, ongoing. Well, as we conclude today, achieving the attributes of an excellent fiduciary is made considerably easier by maintaining a high level of skill in relevant task disciplines, governance, administration, investments, and controls. And on top of that, ensuring a state-of-the-art workflow is used, built around best practices, to monitor performance. Now, being mindful of the high calling of a trusted steward, which exemplifies the role of the retirement plan fiduciary, should elevate the awareness of leaders from a singular job description perspective to a holistic, process-centric vision, which over time produces the most rewarding results. Failure for us is not an option. Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Excellent Fiduciary Podcast. You may learn more about the issues we touched on today by visiting us at rolandchris.com. I look forward to being with you next week. I hope you have a terrific day.